I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And joining us, I believe for the first time today, is a band from Stillwater, Minnesota called Reuben. We've got a four-piece here. Welcome, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
Well, thanks for coming in. Who wants to introduce the band?
I will. I'm Sam. I play guitar, do some singing. Mac, my brother, does some drumming. Miss Katie sings and plays some bass. And Dan is the other fine guitar player, and we all do some singing, so I guess that's redundant.
Which is kind of unusual in a band, and we'll talk more about that and the nice harmonies that you guys do. You're playing tonight at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth, and you know what time that show starts?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
Show up early.
All right. Well, why don't we have you get started with a song, and then we'll find out more about you guys. What do you want to kick this off with?
This is a brand new song. It's called Summer Girls.
That's Reuben live from Studio A. And Summer Girls, I think you said was the name of that one?
Yep.
Very nice. Now, who wrote that one, or do you all write together? How does that work?
For the most part, Sam and I write, and I wrote that song. I'm Dan.
And you were also singing the lead on that one?
Yeah. And sometimes it varies. Some people will write for other people, but mostly Sam and I, but Katie and Mac are actually starting to write kind of together, so...
Okay.
They'll be bringing some stuff to our probably next album.
Well, and this band has been around for a little while, a few years now, mm-hmm. And I think maybe one lineup change in the mix, right? Katie's kind of the newest member. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. But otherwise, the three of you guys have been around since the beginning, I think.
Yeah, we've been together since high school.
And but the sound has kind of evolved over your, and you've had three different releases out. I don't know if they were all out. Well, some of them are EPs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So tell me about the evolution of your sound. How you guys feel like it's evolved?
I think just as our probably of our, you know, you, when you're younger, you listen to more simpler music, you know, like maybe more raw music, like kind of punk inspired.
But well, we did anyway.
Yeah, we did. You know. Yeah. But as you get older, I think your tastes change, and as our tastes have changed, so has our music, and you know, as we change as people too.
Mm-hmm.
We discovered groups like The Band and The Beach Boys, and figured out, could understand what was going on, and that kind of changed what how we looked at music and how we wrote it after that. So,
well, and when you have
Blink 182 or whatever we listened to growing up. Yeah.
Did you used to sound more like them?
More than now, yeah.
There's no recorded documentation.
It has been burned. Well, and I couldn't help but think of the Beach Boys when I heard that one with the harmonies. And not many bands have that ability to have four different people in the band that can sing and that can do harmonies. So that must be kind of a fun thing to play with.
It is. I think... harmony is just kind of natural to us. We were always singing together growing up, even before we were in a band, and, you know, just singing the songs that we knew and trying to do harmonies to those, and we like that kind of beautiful, you know, sound that comes from it.
Is that something that you've worked more on, and especially you had a female voice in the band?
Katie definitely added that high register to our harmonies. You know, we were able to focus more on the, you know, triad in the middle and stuff, yeah, she's helped a lot since, you know, as far as adding a fourth harmony. We can do four-part harmonies now, so that's pretty nice.
Yeah. And it seems like you have fun working those out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We saw, you know, it just took a while for us to, we all kind of had a light on the, you know, just a flash of light sort of wake-up moment. I think, to be honest, one of them might have been seeing bands like Dr. Dog live. It's such a celebration of live music and just in musical community, and we just realized why should we sit and look, you know, why should we be so introverted when live music is an interaction with other people, non-musicians, but music no less passionate about music than themselves. So we just kind of said, all right, let's wake up, let's bring some life into our live show, I think.
Have a little more fun.
Yeah.
Do some more things, have some more fun, and that's kind of what we're about a lot of the time.
We've only got three primary instruments going at any given time, with the exception of a horn section that occasionally joins us. So the more singing we can do, the more inviting it is for people to start yelling at us, too.
In a good way.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Hopefully.
So that's really kind of become a driving force of the band, it seems like, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, live performance is rewarding and completely in and of itself, aside from the joys of sitting in a studio and being introverts.
We started out as a studio band. That's all we used to do when we were younger, is just, we had a little, you know, 8-track recorder that we used to just record, and that's all we did.
Well, so you're talking about knowing each other when you were young. So how young are we talking here? Now these guys are brothers, so they've obviously known each other their whole lives.
I've known them since I was nine.
Okay.
Yeah. And we started making music when we were young too. We had, you know, we did this little bands, and we would make noises with our mouths for instruments because we didn't know how to play.
First band was called Stone Temple.
That was Sam's idea. Yeah, that was, on record
you
as Sam.
I came up with it.
He's like, we're like, it's Stone Temple Pilots. 90s. He's like, no, man, no, it's totally completely different. Yeah.
It's a structure, okay? It's not a gas.
And then we became a real band when we were about 15, 16, 14. And we just never stopped because we enjoy making music together.
How did you arrive at the instruments that you ended up playing?
It was really natural. Max always gravitated towards the drums.
They always made me play.
We made him
play. That's not true. No, I'm just kidding.
I really wanted to play the flute.
Yeah. I was no good at it. No, Katie, we met Katie actually 7 years ago, 8 years ago.
We played a show with,
she was the lead singer in a band called the Golden Chariots of Mars, and they actually recorded here in Duluth.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at Sacred Heart. But yeah, we started playing shows together. We just like, you know, randomly met and we're like, hey, our bands should play more. And then we became good friends. And then when my band broke up, it was kind of like we stayed friends. And then, yeah, now Mac and I are married. And
really good friends now.
Really good friends. But yeah, this, then you know, we all have
it's
the
all
same.
Been a month since this happened.
Yeah. Yeah. We all have the same love for music. And so it was kind of like we just started talking about, yeah, let's have me be in the band too. And I'm like, okay.
I
would love it.
We knew it was imperative that Katie keeps singing. So
yeah.
You're making that happen. And Mac was even willing to marry her to make that happen.
Yeah. You really committed to it. Yeah, yeah.
It's a serious deal.
Well, let's hear another song and then we'll come back and talk some more. You guys have your most recent album, a little over a year ago, came out, The Orchard, right?
Right.
Yeah, we'll talk about that and then what you might be up to since then. So what do you want to play next?
Speaking of Katie singing, this song is off The Orchard. It's called He's My Boyfriend. And here it is.
Is Ruben live from Studio A, and a tune that is included on their most recent album, The Orchard. Six songs, I guess that makes it an EP, right? I always forget the distinction
right
there.
That's right.
So tell me about making that album. Who wants to do the honors?
Well, I'll start, I guess. We started, as like we said earlier, as young kids, and we were lucky enough to go to school with the guy who was really into music probably more than anybody we know. He had a reel-to-reel tape. He would record albums on reel-to-reel, so our first couple were like that. And now he's just continued, and he's now working at, what's his place called now?
He's one of the chief recording engineer at Secret Stash Records.
And co-owner now, too.
And this is John Miller? Is
and
that
John Miller's name, yeah. And so we've grown up with him and kept in touch with him. And so going from being in our folks' basement now to getting to record with John at Secret Stash is pretty cool, and that's where we did most of this one.
And so you've worked with John all along the way, is what you're saying?
For the most part, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last two albums, the last two releases, The Orchard in 2013 and Slow Bleed, Let Me Start in 2011, were recorded with him at various locations. The first effort that we released was self-done. We had a batch of songs we'd sat on for a while, and after going through a couple different recording situations, we were just set on just kind of getting it out there, so we decided to do a, we were listening to a lot of good music, and we just decided, hey, we don't need to put it out high fidelity, let's just record it in our basement, and
hopefully it would make people like focus on the songs more rather than the quality, and you know? Like hopefully the songs would
carry themselves.
Yeah.
And so how did the songwriting go for this album? Now that last one that we heard, very much you can kind of tell it was influenced by that whole 60s Wall of Sound sort of thing. But different things on the album, you know, that song does kind of have that particular angle. There's another sort of Beach Boys-y one, I think. Mm-hmm. But they don't all sound like that. It's kind of all kind of different.
That's probably because more or less Sam and I, because we both write, and we split the writing duties. As far as the songwriting goes, I mean, we all flesh out the arrangements when we get into the studio. Everybody adds their own part. So it's not just one person, but the song structure or the ideas for the songs usually come from Sam and I, and we listen to a lot of 60s music.
Yeah, there's a lot of great, I mean, not 70s. To say we're not closed-minded to, we're obviously, we're quite aware and very much appreciate contemporary music.
Too, yeah.
The way that, just growing up, the common ground that we had was in a different sort of feeling. We don't set out to mimic anybody in particular. We like to, you know, there are different sort of variations and arrangements that are similar to some of the great recordings of the past, but it's just a product of simply being fun to listen to. I think there is a timelessness to that sort of arrangement with real people playing real instruments. There's a warmth to it that we can all relate to that I don't think we could do without, and that's basically what it boils down to.
Yeah. And songs, like, and I think every song has its own inspiration too, you know? Like, whoever writes, it doesn't, we don't necessarily feel like we have to adhere to one specific style. And usually they just come out that way because that's what we like, you know. And something like that, I mean, like a song like He's My Boyfriend was, in my mind, I wanted to do some kind of like, you know, like that, yeah, like 1960s. I didn't do it intentionally, but I had, in my mind, I was replaying like the 1960s kind of Brill Building songwriter kind of thing, you know, where you could make a hit with very basic, not that it would be a hit, but, you know, just that kind of mentality or that kind of sound to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's not something that you hear a lot these days, so it's kind of fun to hear, you know, that kind of energy out there. It's just different than what else is out there right now.
I think it's a real thing that people can feel. I think it's basic, it's universal, and it's the reason why those things, you know, the sound quality back then was not what it is now, but the urgency and the message was delivered through the arrangements, and I think there's a lot of distraction today, and if we can break through a little bit of it by delivering a clear, sincere message, then we're doing our part to kind of to doing our part for society, at least what we think is good for it.
Yeah. None of it's meant to, you know, mimic anything. It's all honest when it comes out. It's really how we feel. All these songs, you know, they come from real, genuine feelings inside of us.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for Sam and Mac, because you grew up in the same household. So, did you have similar musical tastes, different musical tastes? How did that work when you were growing up?
Well, I'm Mac speaking. Sam, I never really listened to music. I played a lot of sports. Sam was always really into it. He was investigating. He's a good musical investigator. You know, he was found the Black Keys before anybody knew who they were, you know, in their first gritty albums with the five songs on them, you know, and that sort of stuff. He looked and he delved and then showed me things, you know. But when we, you know, I listened to different things than he did, but also liked what he listened to. I don't know if he liked what I listened to or not, but I can't say that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we don't necessarily overtly associate into our music that we listen to. I mean, I like a lot of, like, Trojan Records and dub, like, Lee Scratch Perry. And then, you know, there's, like, some great country old stuff, Towns Van Zandt and Graham Parsons and International Submarine Band, all those great bands. That growing up we didn't know about, but it was only because we didn't realize that they were inspiring everybody that was down the line. And, you know, we were listening to the byproduct of those things, and it just took a while to kind of dig a little deeper and learn a little bit more.
Yeah, but getting to know, obviously, Katie and I are married now, getting to know Katie and her family, her family is like an encyclopedia of knowledge in terms of music. Her brothers and her dad and her mom, they sit just in her. I don't know, that obviously affected you.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it made me love music more than anything. But that's like when I met these guys, that's kind of why it all kind of fit, because then we would start talking about things that we thought were obscure, and then maybe, you know, be like, oh, I know that too. And it was, yeah, it was cool that we do share a lot of influences, but then we all have things that we like on our own, and yeah, so it's a cool thing. Music is cool.
Yeah, the band extends out to our other significant others, our families, as you can hear, you know, all of our families putting up with us being gone. Also, when we're home, it's not necessarily any better if we're practicing in our work, you know, home space with kids sleeping and whatnot, but we all grow up, and we're the representatives of our families as well. And enough about that, I guess. You know, we get deep. I don't want to start crying.
All right, we have time for one more song. What do you guys want to do?
This one's off North. This is the one we recorded on our own, and it's called Burlesque, and it's just supposed to sound like a burlesque show. Yeah.
That is Ruben live from Studio A. Another one using those great harmonies, guys. But again, you know, like I was saying about the album, different sound than, you know, the other stuff he did. So that's kind of a fun thing. Mm-hmm. All right. And thanks again, you guys, coming all the way from Stillwater today. And again, they're playing tonight at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth. And the show is actually, it's the 7-inch vinyl release show for Woodblind, and they open the show at 10 o'clock, and then at 10:45 it's the Tiga Lexi Band, followed at 11:30 by these guys, Ruben, and then Lake Monster finishes it all off at 12:15. Anything you want to add before we let you go?
Thanks for having us up here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be in Duluth. We love it.
Hope to see you guys at the show tonight.
Well, thanks for coming in, guys. We appreciate it. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Rick McLean and Aaron Welch. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Arts. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. The World Cafe is coming up in just a few minutes here. And I want to let you know that local programming on KUMD is supported by Western Lake Superior Sanitary District, reminding residents to reduce, reuse, and recycle. And to always think before you throw, online at WLSSD.com.